Hey guys, listen up. If your idea of skincare is rinsing your face with whatever's left from your shampoo, it really is time to upgrade. I want to tell you about the new men's line from Arrow Acres. It's made for guys who want real results without all the extra ingredients. Their products are clean, simple, and incredibly effective. From tallow balm that actually heals dry skin to hand-poured soaps that leave you smelling fresh and not floral. If you need a bug spray that works and doesn't leave you smelling like chemicals as well, they've got that. They've got lip balm and scrubs that are simple, no nonsense, and they're made with real ingredients that your skin actually wants. So if you're chopping wood, hitting the gym, or if you just want to stop stealing your wife's moisturizer and not telling anybody about it, well then they have your back. You can check out their full men's line by following the link in the show notes or on Instagram at Arrow Acres Homestead. Welcome to the Shepherd's Crook Podcast. This ministry exists to provide coaching, resources, and events for pastors and church members. My name is Jared Sparks. Join me as I talk pastoral ministry, applied theology like manhood and womanhood, political theology, and cultural analysis with a little bit of hunting and fishing thrown in. I'm a husband, a father, and a pastor, and I'm here to remind you of the chief pastor and our King, Jesus. Hello, welcome back to the Shepherd's Crook Podcast. We are in chapter 1 of the London Baptist Confession today, and next week we will be in chapter 32. We will finish up the confession. Today we're going to talk about that chapter, but first we're going to talk about a controversy revisited. I introduced that a couple weeks ago. We're going to keep looking back over the last few years and just talking about a few things, making some comments, some things that now we consider a couple years removed and we're able to see with clarity. At least I think I am. And probably you are as well. We're going to talk a little bit about the Christian nationalism dust up that happened for a couple of years running, and it's still really happening today with different variations of what is Christian nationalism and people that have really who are really concerned about it, and how the infighting between G3 and Moscow, or G3 and the Stephen Wolf version or iteration of Christian nationalism. Let's just go ahead and pray, and then we'll get into that and have some fun reminiscing a little bit. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this time. Ask for blessing, lead and guide. I trust you will. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, before we get into that, I want to tell you, I almost forgot, we have a new sponsor for the next couple months, Arrow Acres. There are three girls at our church that are just phenomenal young ladies who are doing really good work putting out clean products. And they started off making products for other women, and now they're making products for men. Really good stuff. I have the tallow balm. I have deodorants. I have chapstick, a few other things. They gave me like a bundle of their products. It's really good. And these girls are great, great girls. They love Jesus. They're doing really good work. And we encourage you to go and check out their stuff. So for dudes out there, I mean, you know, all the problems that have, hopefully anyways, you know, all the problems you've heard from your wives about the issues with chemicals and polyester and all the things that are all over us. And they mess with testosterone. They mess with all the hormones and chemicals and all of that. That affect us that are in our products and shampoos and that kind of stuff. So you guys know about that. So get some clean product and throw out that junk and support some girls that love the Lord and are making some really good quality products. So check that out. I'll link in the show notes and pick up some stuff. I think you'll really like it. Arrow Acres. They're doing a great job. Okay. Christian nationalism. A few years ago, the book Stephen Wolf published was, I think, a really good book. It was everybody was nervous because he said this is not, you know, an exegetical book. He's not Kuyperian. He's not primarily arguing from that Kuyperian worldview. What Doug Wilson presented in Mere Christendom is more of that. And I prefer that. I think that's more of where I'm coming from. My coffee's done. Hold on. Just hold that thought. I'm getting a cup. Just a second. But the real freakout comeback was with G3 over Stephen Wolf and Joel Webbin and others. And they made a fool of themselves over and over again. They put their foot in their mouth. They were continually arrogant. They were talking down to the guys like Dusty Devers, Joel Webbin, anybody, the William Wolfs of the world, Stephen Wolfs. I mean, James White still won't debate Stephen Wolf. It was absolutely ridiculous, the infighting that was going on. And one of the things that was just frustrating, and I think A.D. Robles did such a great job with this, is pointing out that people were talking boldly, didn't know what they were talking about. this is was plain and clear almost every day on the internet for, you know, a year or so or however long, that G3 was making comments and clearly showing that they either weren't reading or listening to anything that's being said. And these ridiculous caricatures of those who are like, can't force conversions and all this kind of stuff, or power up is always evil, power down is always evil kind of stuff, or you can't force the first table of the law kind of thing. And you know, basically their theology just does line up with exactly what Stephen Wolf's been calling out, where it's like, you just like 1980s Reaganism, like neoconservative ideas are the perfect biblical theology of politics. Come on now. And this nervousness from people like G3, and then of course the people that are outside of that sphere, people like Russell Moore and whatever his name is, the people that are just fighting for pluralism, and they just love all the gay stuff and all the trans stuff, and it all goes whatever. If you're going to live in a pluralistic society, then it's all got to go kind of thing. And so I'm not talking about those folks, but the folks like with G3 and everything, the fighting was ridiculous. So the clown shoes joke, just to remember that AD Robles did, where he's like, here's the shoes they put on before they come to Twitter every day. And then the Mexican dudes laughing, and the Nazi video where I think it was Bendel Wary who put those videos together. And honestly, I think to this day, the hardest I've ever laughed in my entire life was seeing those Mexican dudes talk about the whole G3 thing, where it was like Michael O'Fallon gave them their talking points. Oh man, if you've forgotten that, please go watch it. It's hilarious. But here's the whole thing. Christian nationalism. Joel Webbin, in the statement on Christian nationalism, which I thought was phenomenal, that he put together with Dusty Devers and a few other guys. I've got their faces right now. Jeff Wright and William Wolf. And you just read that document. It's phenomenal. It's really good. And it is kind of a Kuyperian flair to it. And it's recognizing the authority of Scripture in all of life. And that's the fundamental thing, I think, that we all come to, even those that are more Thomistic or more, you know, believing that civil law is necessarily in the enforcement of civil law, or civil good is different than individual moral good. Still yet, if you are the Stephen Wolfs of the world, or, you know, the restoration or the reconstructionist of the 60s, 70s, 80s, you're coming to some of the same conclusions, which is, hey, listen, the state is enforcing evil and wicked things. They are forcing that. And what's wrong again with enforcement of the first table of the law? We can't enforce conversions, but we can certainly structure society for the overall good. We're talking about good. That is a moral category. So if we're talking about civic good or individual moral good, still there is some sort of standard of what is good and right. Some of the same conclusions then, even by the historic Two Kingdom guys and the Reconstructionist guys, their conclusions are very, very similar when it comes to what we're doing. Like, what does this look like? If you're in charge, what do you do? If you get elected, if you win the seat, if you're doing what you're supposed to do, then for the G3 guys, for those that were caught up in that and thinking, oh yeah, Christian nationalism is bad, oh my gosh, they're all Nazis or whatever, or they're trying to force conversion, can we just admit that the Bible is authoritative over everything? The Christian nationalists were absolutely right. We want a Christian nation. This has founded it as a Christian nation. There is such thing as Christian institutions. It doesn't mean that they're regenerated or everybody's regenerate. That's a part of it. But they were absolutely right. And Christian nationalism is just the historic understanding of Western civilization, that the Bible, that justice, whether you are a natural law guy, natural law is given by God. I mean, it's recognized. It's not just a morally neutral thing that's just observable. But natural law is there because those who argue for that perspective are saying that God has woven something into the human heart, even depraved we may be, there's still a recognition of what is good and right and beautiful, what is just and what is unjust, what is right and what is wrong, and what should be promoted or what should be punished. You end up in some of the same places. We're still recognizing that God is an authority over the state. And if you don't understand that, then please consider, go back. The Bible has delegated the rod to the Father, the sword to the state, and the keys to the church. These are the systems of government. They're the building blocks of every society. And over each of those building blocks of every society is the word of God. So if you're not a Christian nationalist, you're like, that word terrifies me. Well, you're a Christian and you should be a nationalist. And we believe in the authority of God's word. The Christian nationalists were absolutely right. The secularists and those who are pushing against not only American history, but global history, are those that are coming, that are saying that the neocons and those that are just the pluralistic lovers and the people that are just arguing for influence in politics rather than pushing for righteousness and truth and godliness and suppressing that which is evil. It's those people that are in the modern thing. They're not understanding the nature of politics historically or the nature of how theology and politics intersect. Even though I'm not a politician and I don't claim to know a ton about American politics or politics globally, I do know enough to know that God's word is authoritative over that. There is a law, both natural and explicit, that sits above anybody that's sitting in a position of authority that is a political figure. So I think it's important for us to recognize that there was a whole lot of ridiculous backbiting and fighting and caricatures both ways during that Christian nationalism debate, primarily coming from the G3 side for refusing to listen to those because they weren't credentialed enough or whatever it may be. And instead of actually listening to what people were saying, and it's not that complicated, it's not that hard, and acting like it is complicated, that it is hard, instead of actually listening or reading Stephen Wolfe, and I'm one who liked Mere Christendom better, but I really enjoyed Stephen Wolfe's book and understood where he come from, where he's coming from. In fact, his Lone Bulwark is actually like probably my favorite podcast that's out right now, and one of the very few I listen to. But here's what like Scott Anall and what you know, the guy that just disqualified himself, the G3 former president, I forget his name, they put their fingers in their ears and they would not listen, and they kept saying the same ridiculous things over and over and over again. Now, are there errors from some people who really are promoting Christian nationalism? Sure, I'm sure there is. But any Christian should understand over the last 5 years anyways, a basic understanding of Romans 13, or that God's word is authoritative over the state and we obey God rather than man, and all of those principles that really we have been thrust into rediscovering since 2020. And so Christian nationalism, yes, all the G3 guys were all wrong. And everybody that's fighting between the natural law guys and those that are more theonomic, they need to stop fighting and realize how ridiculous that fight is and just all get along. So that's my 2 cents. All right, let's get into the London Baptist Confession, chapter 32. Sorry. Yeah. Oh, gosh, we're finishing. We're finishing today. That's where we're at. We're finishing up. It's been a wild ride. Really enjoyed it. We're talking about Last Judgment. And thanks so much for, I kind of, honestly, got tired of going through this like the last back half of it. And it seems like everybody's done this before, but I wanted to do it for our church family and for my family. And we're finally done and we're going to be on to other things. All right. So Last Judgment, chapter 32, God hath appointed a day. Sorry, let me put my glasses on. God has appointed the day when he will judge the world in righteousness by Jesus Christ, to whom all power and judgment is given to the Father, in which day not only the apostate angels shall be judged, but likewise all persons who have lived upon the earth shall appear before the tribunal of God of Christ to give an account for their thoughts, words, and deeds, and receive according to what they have done in the body, whether good or evil. Really, really important. What we do in this life matters. Our justification is absolutely based on the finished work of Christ and his work on our behalf. And yet there is great reward in the eternal places for works done in righteousness, imperfect as they may be. There is a judgment of those works. Number two. Paragraph 2, the end of God's appointed day, appointing this day, is for the manifestation of his glory, of his majesty, and the eternal salvation of the elect, and of his justice in the eternal damnation of the reprobate, who are wicked and disobedient. For then shall the righteous go unto everlasting life, and receive that fullness of joy and glory with everlasting reward in the presence of the Lord. But the wicked, who know not God, and obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus, shall be cast into eternal torments, and punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. So important for us to understand that we're talking about eternal destruction. I think those words are important because in that argument that we debunked last week of talking about the conditional immortality of the soul, this soul that's given to everyone, both the elect and the reprobate, goes on forever and ever and ever. And then when those are resurrected unto damnation, resurrected to experience eternal punishment, there is both a consciousness and a destruction of humanity. And so some of the language that annihilationists use, we need to also understand that there is an element of the destructive nature of what hell is for all eternity, is all of humanity even is being destroyed in this eternal conscious torment. They're in that everlasting destruction from his presence, from the presence of the Lord, even though Jesus is everywhere, and from the glory of his power. Paragraph 3, as Christ would have us to be certainly persuaded that there shall be a day of judgment, both to deter all men from sin and for the greater consolation of the godly in their adversity, so we have the day unknown to men, that they may shake off all carnal security and always be watchful, because they know not at what hour the Lord will come, and may ever be prepared to say, come, Lord Jesus. Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus, quickly. Amen. Jesus is going to come. And for us, we have great consolation in the fact that when we walk through adversity, judgment's coming, justice will prevail, and that we are safe in Christ. And the wicked may get away with things on this earth, but they will not get away with their sin for eternity. Judgment will come. We are thankful and so thankful for this confession as we look through this and we look through the Westminster Standards and in the history of the church. There is a unified voice of Christian theology. You say, well, what about all the schisms and all of that? Certainly there are schisms, but when it comes to the central core tenets of the faith, there are so much that unites us as Protestant Christians. And then not just as Protestants, but down throughout church history, the church history that is ours. It doesn't belong to Rome. It is ours. And so hope this has been helpful. We have been walking through this. Thanks so much for sticking with me. I know I may have lost some listeners going through this just because, you know, it can get tiring listening to the confession and hearing other people do that as well. But I hope it's been helpful. And I just want to continue to thank you for being here. And thanks so much. Hope you guys have a good rest of your day.